Dear friends in Christ, a few weeks ago I was walking around campus past the home of Professor Rast. I saw he had his minivan jacked up in the front and was putting new pads on his brakes. Now at our house we have one toolbox and it's got my wife's name on it. So I told Larry how impressed I was by his mechanical prowess. He laughed and replied that when you're a seminary professor, it's not a bad idea to have a trade to fall back on. He's probably right. Peter could fish. Paul was a tent maker. One of my students is a registered nurse, and if Greek doesn't work out for him, he's got a handy parachute. But then such thoughts are escapist, not really to be dwelled on. Better instead to think of Elisha. Elisha was a wealthy farmer. His 12 yoke of oxen were cash cows, and life was good. But then Elijah, initiating a game of prophetic tag, threw his cloak on Elisha. Strange way to call a man into the ministry, I think. Nevertheless, it was clear and effective. It was time for Elisha to kiss his folks and his old life goodbye. So he took his 12 yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, took the flesh of the oxen and boiled it, and gave it to his friends and family to eat. Having cooked his meal and burned his bridges, he gave up his agrarian lifestyle and put his hand to the plow of the Lord. Elisha's ministry is now the stuff of legend. In his colorful career, he parted the waters of the Jordan and raised a child from the dead. He counteracted the poison of wild gourds and retrieved a lost axe head by causing it to float on the water. And once, when some small boys taunted him, calling him bald head, he cursed the brats, causing two she-bears to come out of the woods and kill 42 of them. If I were you, I wouldn't follow Elisha's footsteps too closely, however much your confirmation class or youth group tempts or taunts you. But all who would aspire to the office of the holy ministry would do well to follow in Elisha's commitment. But then I know who I'm talking to. I know that many of you have given up good careers and nice houses. Many of you have left behind comfortable and familiar lives to leap into a future unknown. And for such faith, you are to be commended. Not that it will be easy. Inevitably, there are roadblocks and hardships, disappointments, and self-doubt. There'll be times when you're tempted to toss aside the cloak or stole that has been cast upon you. Perhaps the Greek midterm will be enough to dissuade some of you. Or maybe it will be disillusionment with the seminary, or a church that seems to be squandering her doctrinal treasure. You may feel at times bombarded and lonely, unappreciated, and certainly underpaid. And just because you do what's right doesn't mean you'll get majority backing. You'll wonder whether you made the right decision and whether it was all worth it. And when such thoughts creep into your head, as they will, you can think of Elisha. Or, much better, you can think of our Lord himself. So it was at the age of 30 a new Elisha came onto the scene, and he put aside his own trade, that of carpentry, once and for all. He went to the River Jordan and was met by a new Elijah dressed in camel's hair. And there the new Elisha received a double portion of the Holy Spirit for his ministry, and he would need it. The new Elisha was tempted time and again to turn back from his task. Having spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness, he came to understand firsthand the all-too-common link between ministry and poverty. He who dwelled in heavenly splendor had no place even to lay his head. No doubt the devil was whispering in our Lord's ear, "Your family thinks you're crazy. The people in your own hometown want to kill you. Your own disciples are feckless. The Jewish leaders are petty and jealous. The Roman soldiers are vain and cruel. And the crowds who follow you around are fickle. Are these people worth saving? Cast aside your mantle and turn back. And no doubt, Satan put into our Lord's mind the many sins that we ourselves would commit. Perhaps it would be good to die for a righteous man, but to die for the likes of us? But our Lord never turned back. Steely-eyed, he set his face towards Jerusalem, on to suffering and rejection, on to the cross and death. Our Lord's ministry has all the marks of grim and earnest resolve. Still, I don't know about you, but I can't live my life fueled by grim and earnest resolve. So one final note. As you know, Elijah was taken up by a chariot into heaven. That's the way I would choose. Elisha, though granted double the spirit of Elijah, had no such luck. He died and was buried. But that's not the end of the story. Sometime later, we're told, another man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And when his limp, dead body came into contact with the bones of Elisha, he was revived and rose again. From death sprang forth life. So also, when we look at our church and our ministry, we ought to be optimistic. Even in the darkest days, flowers spring up through the cracks, and hope bubbles up from an unstoppable fountain. Moral failings, sin, weakness, lack of courage, ecclesiastical demise, all of this may dissuade us. The smell of death may linger, but the victory is ours. For the new Elisha has gone before us into the grave, and though he died, his bones are nowhere to be found. For he is alive, and he is the Lord of the church, and in his death we have life. And this is the life which by our preaching we impart to the dying world. So away with self-pity and let's put our hands to the plow, take up our crosses, put on our mantle. In Christ our new Elisha, the future is ours. Amen.